Blog Talk Radio. Breaking news.
Ushering in a new era. This is the War of the Words.
All right. Number 108, War of the Words, Relentless Radio. It is fight week. And as promised, we're going to kick it off hard as we count down these last couple days to Conflict 28, doing it right with Robbie Collum, who'll be on the show here shortly with us. Robbie is a bad dude, man. He's one of my favorites on the scene right now. Just in reality, the kid is a beast. You know, for a dude who's so brand new into the sport in the Southeast here, diving in, he has had an incredible kickoff, still holding on to his goose egg, as he would tell me. He's impressed all around everybody. You know, despite the wrestling-heavy background and self-admittedly little exposure to the other spheres of martial arts prior, he has a pocket full of TKO victories. Almost everybody he's fought had more experience, whether that be in the cage, out of the cage, on paper, however you want to call it. He's just a gritty, relentless dude. He's fought some real guys out here. He's been in some tough situations, come out on top every time. We've seen him dominate. We've seen him come back from being in moments of danger, and he always finds a way to win no matter what. He's a constantly developing, improving fighter, and one of the fastest rising characters in the Southeast MMA, especially in the conflict scene. I think everybody has really been following the fireball that is Robbie. So I believe I got him on the line already. No time better than the present than jump in. I hope this is him. Robbie, is this you, brother?
Yeah, man, that's me.
There he is, Robbie Collum, man. 145. We're kicking off fight week this week. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I can't complain. You know me, man. It's freaking fight week. I think, you know, out of the whole card of people showing up, I'm one of the few people that's not cutting any weight. And so, you know, I don't get aggravated or nothing. I keep the thrill alive. You know what I'm saying? How about yourself, man? How are you now that we're officially just a few days away from Saturday night?
Well, I'm fine today, but come about Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I'll probably be a little annoyed at little things trying to make this first cut to 45.
Woo. Speaking of which, man, that was one of the things I wanted to ask you. You know, you're such a dynamic fighter, such an explosive fighter, and you've I was just talking about in the introduction. You know, you impressed everywhere you went. What is it about 45 that makes you feel like that's your home?
Well, I've been dieting very well, and my weight is just naturally coming off. So I'm only walking around like 162 naturally, and the 7 pound cut at 155 isn't going to be a good home for me, knowing them guys are cutting. Like, I seen Kobe Wall's picture the other day cutting from 182. Like,
I know, I don't even know how those guys do that stuff, man. You imagine cutting like 40 pounds before a fight? It always seems so insane to me.
Crazy. I mean, I know you get a 24-hour rehydration period, but that still takes a toll on your body, man. I don't think it's too healthy, and it could affect your performance, I feel like.
I like that, man. You know, and all, I like the way that you take those things into consideration. I know a lot of guys that, you know, they don't really think too much about where they fight or how that can impact them or what the weight cut is going to do, or they don't think about those things. They just go and try to fight. And you've probably seen this yourself, maybe not in fights you've had. But around you, you see these guys who, you know, they're supposed to fight. Let's just use 145 since we're talking about it. And they show up 150, 153, 157, stuff like this. I'm glad to see that you have that under wraps, number one. And number two, it seems like going to 45 is not going to be it's like a massive, drawn-out challenge for you.
I mean, it's not going to be a a killer to make. It's going to be, I know it's going to be rough. I haven't seen 145 since I was a senior in high school 5 years ago. And I don't really have that much, I don't have that much body fat anymore. So it's going to be a rough cut, but I'm disciplined enough. I know I'll make it.
Absolutely. You know, and speaking of that discipline, I'm sure, you know, beyond just yourself, we know you're surrounded by a strong and knowledgeable group of individuals that I'm sure are helping guide you to 145 in the healthiest way possible.
Yeah, they're trying to.
They're doing their best. Like, don't eat that grilled cheese, Robbie.
Oh, that would be my dad.
Oh, shoot, we're going to have to catch up. Rob, I know you're hearing this right now. Bring me a grilled cheese to Conflict 28. I'm ready for the sack lunch, the column sack lunch. I'm trying to get in on that.
I don't know if you want in on that sandwich.
Yeah, he's like, that sack lunch is for serious. So, Robbie, one of the things I definitely want to ask you, man, is, you know, you're undefeated, and every time we see you in the cage fighting, you know, you're better than the last time. You're taking on a more potent opponent than last time. You're making a bigger statement with every move. I guess I got to ask, man, how have you felt watching this unfold in front of you from going from, you know, we talked the first time that we talked, your first fight, going from being so new to really developing into a martial artist, man. How's that been for you?
It's been a tough ride. I mean, our camps are hell. But I try to take from each fight. I don't really look at what I did good. I don't look at the positives. I look at what I did wrong, and I try to improve with each fight. I want to become a better, more dynamic fighter with each fight, and I want to be on top. I want to get Johnny Williams' belt. I want to have it, and when I get it, I don't think anybody's going to take it from me until I get booked.
Hell yeah, man. I like fighting who doesn't have that mentality to go ahead and hang them gloves up. That's exactly how I hope everybody out there is thinking. I know you think it. We can see it not just on fight night, but we can see it in the results and the aftermath and everything in between. And you know what? I think you are far from the only person that feels that way. I know one of the most exciting things, at least in my opinion, about you is how you've been able to sort of rally such a giant fan base and so many people who are either interested in seeing you fight or interested in fighting you, or there's some level, like, you've really made a big impact on the scene, man. I mean, you have to see that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've noticed it. I have a great group of family, friends, and a lot of fans. You know, they come and watch me, support me fight, and it really helps me get into the room and train even harder. And with each practice, I train harder, knowing I have the support group behind me.
Which is absolutely a massive thing to have, I believe. You know, I know your dad, who we're going to have on here in just a few minutes. I know he is a big driving force behind the wave going in. Tell us a little bit about about him and his role in all this and helping you out.
Even though it's aggravating at times, but I know it's just for to push me, but he's always in the gym, man. He's riding my ass, and he's just, even when I'm not having a good practice because I'm sick, I'm still in the gym, he still expects me to have 110, 120% in the gym. Everything should be better than my last practice. My next practice should be better than my last practice. Every practice should be that way. I should improve with each practice, and that's probably one of the reasons why I've excelled so fast in the sport.
It sounds to me like he's bringing the dadisms straight into the gym life. I like hearing that, man. It's like, you know, some parents hardly get involved. Some parents just come to the shows. I know. And then you have other guys like, you know, Kobe's dad calls him like 67 times a day. Like, how many push-ups did you do today? How much sparring did you do today? And, you know, I like to see that, man. I like to see him being involved. I know he's got to be one of your biggest fans come fight night. Every time I run into him, he's like, call him forever, son. And, you know, I really like that. I really like that.
A lot of like.
What'd you say?
No, a lot of like. I probably get about 6 or 7 big phone calls a day, too.
Oh, yes, man. I've been around Kobe. His dad will call 7 times, boy, and be like, hey, hey. You do your squats? You do your damn squats today, son?
Yep,
I'm like, man. Yep. Keeping it, you got to keep that flow pumping, man. And you know what? Sometimes, and Kobe says it all the time to me, is that, you know, sometimes I get aggravated at him and stuff, and I'm, I want to tell him to go to hell and get off the damn phone. But, you know, when I look at it as a whole, probably couldn't be any more thankful to have somebody like that keeping you on the hustle, you know?
Yeah, it sounds like we have a lot in common.
That's phenomenal. You know, you guys do have a lot in common also in where you are in your MMA careers. I mean, granted, Kobe's had a lot more fights, but you guys are both at that cusp period where this gold and everything is so close, man. How do you feel in that respect? Do you see conflict gold in your immediate future?
Do I see the gold as in the belt?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I see it coming. It's coming home to the house.
Coming to the easy.
Yeah, it's coming.
And is there anybody in particular, while we're on the topic, that I might add, and then we'll get on this Conflict 28. I actually got some guys on the line here with some callers that probably got some questions and stuff right here. But I want to ask, man, is there anybody that you would prefer to fight for the title, or does it even matter?
Out of Paul and Johnny?
Paul, Johnny, Mark. I think those are like the three guys right at the top area. Off the top of my head, yeah.
Well, I'd rather Paul win this fight and me and Paul fight. I know we'd have a sellout show. He's an entertaining fighter. You know, I have a lot of fans. I feel like I'm an entertaining fighter. So it'd be a good, exciting fight to come watch. But I really would rather it have been Trader. Just because everybody talks about Trader, he's a big name, and that's,
right.
Yep. So that's who I'd rather it be. But when that time comes, and the fans will get what they want.
You know what? That's I can appreciate that response. You seem to have a lot of appreciation and consideration for the sport and the fans. You know, you mentioned wanting to face Mark Trader because, you know, he's a big name, and you know, there's a lot that comes with that, and getting that win. And then you mentioned at the same time facing somebody like Paul Teague, who you know brings in a ton of fans, a ton of eyes. It really sounds like you've really thought this out, and that you have a very intelligent approach to how you want this all to play out.
Yeah, man, I've thought it out a bunch of times, and I'm just letting the cards play how they play.
That's it. I like that, man. I'm going to go ahead and get one of these callers. I've got two of them on the line. Three of them, really. I know who one of them is. Rob, my brother, we're going to get to you in a second. I got somebody else right here. We're going to go ahead and pop this microphone to you. We got War of the Words, man. You are live. Who do we got on the line?
Hello?
Hello. Hey, who we got?
What's up? You got the Ninja Turtle, the one and only.
Oh, it's Paul T. What's up, Paul?
Just driving down the road.
Well, that sounds good. I'm sure you called in for some reason, man. What's good? What's on your mind? Well, you're here with Robbie Cullum.
I just wanted to say, Robbie, it's going to be me and you fighting for that title. Just go ahead and give you that heads up. And it's going to be one hell of a show, one hell of a fight. Respect both ways. It's going to be awesome, man.
You there, Robbie?
Yeah, man, I'm here. I didn't know if I was still on the phone or not. I couldn't tell.
Oh, yeah, you're good. You're live. You're live, brother. You're live.
I'm glad to hear that, Paul. I'm glad to hear that. What are you doing, everybody? Just handle business on that.
I said, Paul, real quick while I got you, man. You know, Robbie talking about handling business on Saturday. Obviously, Paul, you plan to be the next 145 champ if this comes to fruition, when you get this title, will Robbie be the person that you request to face next?
Yes. I said that on my interview the other day, because Robbie's, what, 5-0, 4-0?
Yep.
4-0,
he deserves it.
I like that, man. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, man. This is what we love about the sport, about Southeast MMA, man. We got the number one, basically two number one contenders right here discussing the future. I like that very much, man. Seems like a lot of respect. I think this would also be a huge sellout fight, obviously. Both you guys bring a ton to the table, whether that be inside the cage or people in the building. You got anything else for us, Paul?
Yeah, let me tell you the main reason I know me and Robbie will sell the fight, because one, we're both entertaining, like you said. Two, people come to see the Shamrock and people come to see the Turtle. So you put two green things together, you got a bomb.
I like that. Green on green, bringing it. That's beautiful, man. Paul, hey, man,
and
I appreciate
one other,
you.
One other thing real quick.
Go ahead.
Sorry to cut you off.
Nah, man.
And then the winner of mine and his, of course, the next fight's going to be Trader. So it's going to be either a Trader and TA2 or a Column and Trader.
You can't miss it, man. Paul, I appreciate you calling in, man. We are very excited for your fight as well. And, you know, we'll be catching up with you here in a couple of days as we get closer, man. So get that training in, and we look forward to seeing you Saturday night.
Yes, sir. Good luck, Robbie.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, everybody. Paul T. How about that, man? We're just talking about him, and he appears out of nowhere, Robbie.
Hello?
Yeah, can you still hear me?
Yeah, I see you, man.
All right. I was just saying, we had Paul T. He just called in. What you think about that? That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, man. Pretty interesting.
We got a lot of fans out here, man, and like we said, you know, you're one of these prominent fighters, so you know people are going to be tuning in to hear what you have to say. And now that he mentioned it, I do remember Teague saying on his interview, I guess it's been about a week and a half ago now, that if he won the title, or when he won the title, as he put it, that he would be looking forward to welcoming you to fight next. How do you feel about that? Do you see it going the same way?
Yeah, I see it going that way. And props to Teague, man. He's showing respect to other fighters, you know. Haven't really seen him do that much. Paul's an entertaining interview person, and he showed some respect to me, and that was pretty cool on his part. And I got respect for Teague as well, and I'll be pulling for him come Saturday.
Absolutely, I like that. You know what I noticed? I think about Paul, man. You know, he's always, you know, if you know him well, he's one of those guys that does what he can to sell a fight, and you know, he also believes in a lot of what he does and says, a huge amount of confidence. But I also know from talking to him personally that you know, he does have some times in some fights where he feels like maybe the respect level or the seriousness of the fight warrants that. And I think this is definitely one of those situations, man. He was the same way when he was talking about Johnny. Matter of fact, it was the most like humble and calm show I've ever done with Paul ever. So, you know, I can agree with that. And obviously he sees a lot of positive qualities for you, especially at 145. So Conflict 20 is going to be a popping show, man. One of the things I definitely want to touch base with you, and then we're going to bring Dad on, is Johnny Williams himself, man. You look across the cage. I know you were listening to the show yesterday. You've got a calm, confident, collected fighter who seems to be pretty pumped up. He's got a, you know, solid team around him. And I know you had some things you wanted to touch on about that, and I'm sure you heard it, and we're ready to hear it too, my friend.
You know, he really didn't say anything bad about me yesterday when he brought me up. You know, the fans, us both being from the Savannah area, you know, a lot of people would like to see that fight. You know, and he's a good fighter. I mean, he's a 4-2, 5-2. He's got a good record. But it's just things I've seen about him that I honestly don't believe that he would beat me if we got the cage together. It's just, you get those vibes, man. And I just have that vibe that
And, you know, one of those things, and it's a beautiful thing about MMA, is that, you know, we get to get excited about the speculations until fight night. And, you know, that, you know, a Williams Colin fight would be absolutely awesome as far as a, like, selling front and stuff. But you feel that did you saw his fight against Eddie Miller? Did you catch that one?
I actually didn't get to. I was able to watch it from the screen. I was the fight right after him at the Civic Center that weekend. That was my second MMA. So I really didn't get to watch it, but I was catching glimpses as I was warming up for my fight.
I got you. I was just curious as if, too, you felt like maybe that was some sort of a blueprint or said something about him. That was one of, the fight where he was dominated for three rounds via wrestling, grappling, that sort of thing. So I was just curious as a side note if you had seen it or but you, I mean, obviously you don't need that kind of inspiration. It doesn't matter what anyone else has done. It's about what Robbie Colum can do, right?
That's right.
I like that, man. Well, tell us. We're gonna bring Dad on here. Go ahead and get him out here. When we talked about him a little bit, this is the man. I'm sure you probably run into him at least once if you've ever been to a Colum fight in the crowd. Mr. Rob Colum. Rob, how we doing today, my friend?
What's up, Eric?
Nothing much, man. We're just getting in here talking to Robbie, talking about your son, the killer, the man. Taking the Southeast MMA scene by storm, man. That's got to have you feeling pretty awesome and pretty proud over there.
Yeah, we started, you know, kind of slow and just kind of gradually, you know, built opponents, you know, little by little to grow in the sports as we started, you know, in August. So we just kind of took like bumps in the road, just, you know, gradually climbed. And, you know, as we climbed, we're seeing that we're just as we're just as good as the guys that are champions. You know, I was going to wait, you know, to after August, you know, for we probably challenge for this belt. But Robbie's progressed so long, I mean, so fast, that I just, you know, feel that, you know, that we can take this thing now and keep it.
And when you watch, so basically in short, when you guys go out and have the fight and you watch the fight, you feel like there's nobody out there right now, say at 45 or on this AMI side, that has you guys worried in any kind of way.
I'm not impressed with half the people that I see. I know that the coaches that I've hired and brought on to coach Robbie, I feel confident that, you know, what they've taught him, and that we can compete, it, you know, with Traders, with Williams, with Paul Teague, with Zach Cooper. I'm put it out there, you know, we try to fight Carrar this fight here at 3-1. And you know, a couple of days ago, last Thursday or Wednesday, I get a phone call where he backed out, you know. So I reached out to another kid up in Atlanta with a 5-1 record, Joey Mullins. I tried to get him. I spoke with his coach and spoke with Jared. We're trying to get this kid on the card. He couldn't fight us, you know. So we were trying to reach out to get a decent record, because that's what we hear, that our opponents are not worthy of their record. So I'm reaching out trying to find opponents with decent records, and we can't get them to come to the show. So here we are now, we got to the fight, and we haven't taken a guy that's on his debut. So, you know, the good thing about the kid that I say about him, I don't even know anything about him other than his name is James, he's not worried about Robbie's 4-0 record with 3 knockouts, which says a lot about
right.
the kid. So,
absolutely. And you know, there's also, you know, Robbie has fought a lot of people that are well known, and I think that, you know, if something like that happens every now and again, I'm not a fighter, but I would go into it like, you know, you're staying busy, you're keeping your name out there, you're getting your W's in, and you're staying in the scene and in the mix. Like, sometimes the worst thing you can do is be gone for too long and lose that momentum. And I really do feel like that Colum momentum is really starting to have that big kind of tsunami wave. And, you know, I'm not a fight manager, but it always seems like it would be better to to fight than to not. So I'm glad that it did work out, and I don't think people are going to make any sort of strange judgments based on something like that, because I like you said, I actually know Mullins, and not to mention you've got a lot of guys coming up at 145 that have 2-0, 3-0 records. I wrote an article maybe about 2 weeks ago about Malcolm Stanley and Robbie Collin, which is a fight I'd love to see, and you know, this dude's only 2-0. So I think the scene has a lot to offer, and I think Collin has, Robbie has a damn sure has a lot to offer. And, whether that's against an 0-0, a 1-0, a 1-2, a 4-0, I think he's here to make a statement for sure, man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like the coach / dad. I coached Robbie for his whole life since he was six. I coached him in football and baseball and wrestling. I coached for 15 years, way past after he finished middle school. I continued to coach, I've never been the same, even if he's, if I'm coaching him, or if I turned him over to the high schools, or even in college when he was wrestling in college, I was still that coach in the background, pushing him probably harder than his head coaches were in high school and, in college. I just felt that I could get more out of him. Those other guys, today's coaching, these guys are so worried about really grinding these kids that they're going to run away. They're going to scare him off. Well, he's not one of those kids. You can just keep mashing those buttons and pushing him, and he's going to succeed. He's going to keep growing as the sport goes. So I know that about him, and that's why, I do the things I do to him in the gym. So a lot of times I probably embarrass him, but it's not about that. I'm trying to get through to him. We're trying to climb this ladder, and we want to get to the top of the hill, and we want to stay there once we get there.
That's it, and that's definitely one thing for sure. It sounds like you guys are definitely on the same page, absolutely no doubt. I'd ask you another question real quick, and then we'll jump back over to Robbie. Robbie and I talked a little bit about what's in the immediate future, about what the sort of MMA weather looks like with some of these contenders. What are your thoughts on that, and what either would you like to see play out, or what do you feel is going to play out?
Well,
however you want to take it.
What I was told on this fight here, that this was for the number one contender at 145 at Hardyville, even though that our fight did fall out with Carrar, that it wasn't going to affect us from fighting the title winner for this next fight. I've watched Johnny Williams fight twice, last time fighting against Zach Cooper. He took it to the distance with Zach Cooper, which makes me think that we could beat Johnny pretty easily, because I feel that we could knock Zach Cooper out in the first round. So, and then you have Paul Teague, who's it's hard to judge him because those backhand fists, and he just has a different style about him where he's a freestyle fighter. I'm not going to call the fight either way. I just know we're going to fight the champion, which whatever one wins, and whenever they want to fight. We may bring it back here and fight him in October. If it's Johnny Williams and Robbie, we'll fight here probably back here, here at home. Teague, I'm sure it'll be somewhere in the Columbia area or maybe Charleston as a central point. I don't know, but I feel that we can win the title. And that's really all I'm going to say. I like Paul. Me and Paul keep base pretty often and keep in touch. And I just heard Johnny yesterday mention that he would he'd rather fight Robbie as one of his grudge matches. That's fine. We'll fight him. We'll fight him without the title. It doesn't, the belt won't have to be in the middle. We'll fight him next week. If he loses the title. It doesn't matter about that, but I feel that Robbie can, he can win the title, and I believe he can hold on to it. And Trader will probably be at it, I'm assuming. I know he had a surgery, and I know he's going to be at the next event. Trader's tough, and we hear a lot about him. He's probably going to be one of the next guys going up to the UFC guys, is what I hear most of. That he's potentially that good to go up to the next level. We was told last fight against Cooper that if we went to the ground, we was going to get submitted. Now, Robbie, it came close to it, but he ended up breaking out of it, but we didn't get submitted. You know, we was told not to go to the ground and end up having 3 takedowns that fight. You know, and Johnny, he's a good guy. We've met him after the fight, and I have a relationship with him constantly, asking when his next fights are, because I like to try to keep up with Robbie's ex-opponents and see, you know, how they fare out. So, we're just sitting on the bench waiting to see who the champion is.
That's great, man. Very, very well said. And, of course, before we switch back over to Robbie, man, is there anything else that you want to add, anything like that, anything you want to get off your chest, anything on your mind?
No, there's nothing really on my chest, really, other than I want to, you know, give a shout-out to our local gym, Savannah Combat, and Judgment Day Gym. They do a great job around here, and Brandon Meacham out of Richmond Hill. They've done a great job working with my son, and I appreciate them very much.
Richmond Hill, man, it's been a long time. I used to live out there in God, something forest or woods. I can't remember what it was called. Just for you, right across from the racetrack. I can't remember what it was called. The racetrack gas station, something Hills or Woods. It's a subdivision right there. Heck of a place. Terrible cops. Make sure to follow speed limit for all you guys going through Richmond Hill. But yeah, man, that's awesome, man. Give them the address if you got it on top of your head where they can go and check it out, man.
Robbie probably knows the address on Savannah Combat. I just did it off of 37th Street with Stephen Bass. And, you know, Jamie Day's up in Springfield, Georgia, mainly boxing up there. And Steven's all-around fighter. And, you know, Brandon Meacham was an Olympic alternate back in the day. And it was a 25-5 as a pro fighter. And very not we're just fortunate to have those guys work with him.
Absolutely, man. That is a true blessing. Rob, I want to thank you for coming on, man, calling in and give us a little bit of that extra lowdown in the background. Thank you so much. And as always, man, you know, you're part of this Conflict family. We're going to have another one of these awesome badass reunions on Saturday, and I look forward to seeing you there, sir.
Yes, sir. We'll see you Saturday night.
That's it, man. Rob Collum, everybody. Robbie, man, what's up, man? You got anything you want to add to that or anything?
I would also like to thank my coaches. You know, they make sure that every fight that I am prepared for anything that gets thrown at me, you know, I'm ready. I'm confident. So I'd like to thank them for that.
One of these things that I think is most impressive about you, Robbie, is the fact that everybody talks so much about your wrestling background. And at the same time, as we mentioned a few times, you sort of broadening out, I guess, around August of last year. And, you know, we've seen how far you've come. One of these big questions I have for you is, you have, despite what I just mentioned about all the wrestling and stuff, a nice handful of TKO victories and stoppages to strikes, man. Has that surprised you at all? Is that a result of these coaches that we've been talking about? Or is it? Tell us a little bit about your perspective of that, of coming in with in kind of one way, but being prepared all around and then having a high finish rate, man.
Well, the wrestling, yeah, it does help with that high finish rate. You know, it's like when you smell blood, you go for it. And wrestling was the same way. You jump on a lead, don't hang on the lead and try to hold off. You know, keep scoring, keep winning. Don't give your opponent time to get back into the fight or back into the match. And wrestling is like the same way, and that's exactly how I think in the cage. And, you know, my coaches, they help with that. Like, we push for big wins in the gym. Like, we work hard. I believe we work harder than any other gym out there. You know, practice ain't easy. My practices are probably harder than all my fights. So that's how I look at it, and that's why I walk into the cage confident as could be. I'm not worried when I walk in.
And that's a huge thing. You know, they say that the best champions train on the brink of defeat. You know, that the people that have the most success are the people that push themselves to the places where they are least comfortable and the places where they are at their least where they can enforce their least amount of greatness naturally. And it sounds like you challenge yourself in all areas to get exactly that. And you know, you talked about the grinding and pushing through and don't let anybody do this and that. And we saw that in your last fight, and when you were in that armbar, I know that I was directly across from you, like literally directly across from the cage from you, and I could see your face, I could see the submission, and it was a good one, man. And you know, you had the mental fortitude and the skill and the experience to push through that, and I think that said a lot. When I saw that night, it said a lot to me about the type of heart that you have.
Hey, yeah, man, props to Johnny. That was a hell of an armbar. It was tight, and going to situations like that at practice, you know, so it wasn't a new situation for me. It was something I've been there before. And then Johnny went to regrip his, and that gave me that split second, you know, to be able to get out of that. I was able to reposition my arm to where I wasn't in danger, and that's where I was able to get out of that. But yeah, that's probably the most danger I've been in all my fights, and it was a good arm bar, you know, and props to Johnny.
Yeah, no, absolutely no doubt. But I think it also speaks, not only does Coop is a really, really good guy, so, you know, props out to him. Definitely no disrespect in any way. What I saw that night and what you just said, I think speaks to what I'm trying to get at about you, is that's all you, yeah, and your training, you know, that's all you needed was a split second to come on a show and say, you know, the second he took to make an adjustment, I was capable of seeing that and making my own adjustment to save myself from this armbar that may have taken me out and to go on to win the fight. And I think that says a tremendous amount, not just about your abilities, but the abilities that are being bestowed upon you and taught to you by the group that you're with, which is something I wanted to touch on. You know, yesterday I had Johnny Williams on, and I lived in Savannah for about 12 years. I went to college there. While I was in college, I raised a family out there. And my first stints in MMA, both training and covering for media, happened in Savannah. And, you know, really, to be honest with you, I went to Redline, and there's a couple other little small gyms. A lot of them are defunct now. CTC has always been the long-standing gym in Savannah. And I know you guys are making a huge, huge splash. And so I definitely want to take a minute on the air to correct that a little bit and you know, for all these fans to hear. In that what I was speaking of is from my own experience in the time that I've been in Savannah and not my reflections in the MMA game, in which I generally, you know, look at the upsides of all the gyms and stuff. So I did want to take a second to hear about your gym, the people that are there, and where people can find out more information that are in Savannah and beyond, because, you know, I think it's great to have that diversity. And obviously, you are a product of that great training environment. So we'd love to hear about that, man.
Yeah, as far as the Savannah area, you know, I'm not knocking CTC. You know, it's a great gym. You know, a lot of good fighters coming out of that gym. You know, you got David and Kobe and Johnny, and you got the coach Musin. You know, there's a lot of good fighters coming out of that gym. So I'm not knocking them, but at
sure.
The same time, we got little Savannah Combat Club. Not a big gym, it's a little gym, but the guys in that gym, they come to work. You know, it's not, the gym's little, it reminds me of Rocky, Mickey's gym, but smaller. And them guys, man, they're there to work. They're not there to complain. They're not there to cry or moan because practice is too hard. And Steven pushes us to the limits. You know, there's been times where I've wanted to cut Steven because I'm getting irritated and I'm tired, but he's on my ass like my dad, and he doesn't care if we're tired. He's going to push us, and that's what I'm trying to say is our practices are harder than my fights. And the guys that come into that gym, they love to work like that. They're not complaining. They know that I'm fighting on this card. I'm the only one fighting, and props to my partners, man. They come in and they put it on me for 2.5 hours, and they don't let off. and they rotate in and out. And but when at the same sense, when they're fighting, you know, it's the same scenario. We work as a team. Even though you're by yourself in that cage, we're still a team. They'll all be there to support me because that's what we are. We're an MMA family. We're a fighting family. And that gym, to me, is probably the most home and best gym in the Savannah area. And then as far as my boxing gym, you know, Jamie Day is great. He's been in my dad's life his whole life. He's like a family member to me. He's like an uncle. He's like my Uncle Jamie. And he pushes me the same as my dad and Steven would do. And props to that gym. Anybody who wants to learn how to box, I would suggest Jamie and Brandon. They've taught me everything I know. So I just wanted to give a few shout-outs to them.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, they say the most important things you can have in your gym is the people. So, you know, it doesn't matter how many bags you got hanging. Doesn't matter what logo or symbol you got on the wall or what you got hanging on the door or what's on the sign on the outside. It's about the people within and their dedication, their passion, man. So it sounds like you guys do have one of the best gyms around from what I hear. And I also would encourage everybody to check it out. And we'll make sure, too, today, guys, as we always do in War of the Words, you can check out more information on this on our site for you guys listening who are interested. We'll make sure to get that stuff out, man. But, man, let's jump here to Conflict 28, man. We're just a couple days away. You know, your dad mentioned your opponent, a bit of a last-minute or late, maybe we could say, replacement. Again, you know, when I look at a fight like this or I look at, you know, when these things kind of happen, it's moderately common in MMA. I mean, shit, both of the title fights that we're having on this card are replacement fighters, both Paul Teague and Bart Weeks are filling in for Mark Trader, Eddie Miller. So we can see that even on the, you know, even when it comes to the belt, these kind of things happen. And I for one, am glad that you were able to stay on the card because I truly feel that getting those fights in, keeping that momentum going, keeping yourself in that spotlight alongside of getting better and better. You know, of course, you never want to make dumb decisions, but it sounds like that's almost an impossibility with who you're surrounded with. I'm really excited to see this fight, but I have to ask from your perspective, how are you feeling about going into this one on Saturday, and what are your expectations?
I'm feeling great, man. You know, I'm probably the best shape I've ever been in, even better than my last fight. That's one thing I'm trying to improve on each fight is my conditioning. I'm confident. I'm ready to go. You know, I was really looking forward to the Carrara fight, but you know, I give it, like my dad said, I give it to this guy. You know, he's coming in to get a 4-0 fighter for his debut. I give it to him, but as always, Eric, you know, I expect to get a W when I come into the ring. I don't like calling my fights. I'm not going to say how it's going to go. I just know it. Whatever happens, I'm coming out with a W, and that's how it's going to be.
Hey, and just to be honest, to back this up, mathematically, that is exactly what's going to happen. You still got that goose egg. 4-0 and ready to freaking go is how what I'm hearing.
You got that right, man.
That's fantastic, dude. You know, I've been so excited about this card for so long. Every time I see you fight, it's an experience. You know, we're always like the only two redheads in the damn building, so you know we gotta hold it down on that front. You keep, you know, like I mentioned, man, you keep getting better and better in every fight. There's a little more the group of people that are talking about you fighting for the title and your overall potential. And even as far as going to the UFC, you know, those whispers increase every time you step in and step out of the cage. And I think it's even more exciting in the fact that you know, the only time you've been in, like, major trouble or trouble of any real degree, I guess we could call it, was in your last fight. So, you know, I think there's a lot of people excited, too, to see that to see those changes and to see that domination come in. And there's a reason that there's such a lot of people wearing the Shamrock shirt on fight night, man. And I know you're looking forward to giving these fans something to talk about on the ride home.
Yeah, that's what I like to do. I like to people have good conversation for their ride home. And I want them to continue to come out and help support me. You know, I just want to give them what they pay for and what they come to see, and And I also want to give a huge shout out to all my sponsors. I'm not going to try to name all of them because I don't want to leave anyone out. But I want to give a huge shout out to all of them because they've been helping me tremendously with everything that I do as far as gym fees, gas money and stuff to go places to travel and train. For instance, they helped me get a sauna for my weight cuts. Man, they just, they do so much for me that I can't even thank them enough in words, man. They're also a part of my family now.
And that's amazing, man. And, you know, that's especially amazing for, you know, these guys on the AMI side. You know, a lot of people are, you know, lucky enough just to get a couple shirts printed up for them or something like that. So, you know, I'm sure you see the value and obviously you have a massive amount of appreciation for those sponsors and those people out there who believe in you, especially this is not a knock on you. I'm sure you also see it. But to have such a huge support system at 4-0 on the AMI side of MMA, I think speaks a lot to people's belief and faith in you, man.
Yeah, it does, man. They see, obviously they see something they believe in, and they're coming to help back me on it.
Absolutely, man. Listen, last big question for you, Robbie. You know, nobody steps in the cage out of completely selfish reasons. You know, we always have guys who maybe just love to fight, or maybe they had a rough life before discovering MMA, or maybe they love competition. There's all kinds of reasons why people get in the cage, but rarely is it just this totally selfish thing. And so I wanted to ask you, what does getting in the cage and fighting mean to you and symbolize to you for yourself and those that your loved ones?
I'm just I've always been very competitive, and, you know, I like sports, for instance, like wrestling. Everything's on you. You can't blame anybody else. You can't blame a teammate. So cage fighting is the same thing. You get in there, it's just you, and you don't have no help. You can't blame, if I went in there and got knocked out, I can't blame anybody. If I got arm-barred and submitted, I can't blame anybody. That's all on me. And I love the fact that there's no one to blame. You know, it's just these kind of sports and the competitiveness of these and the adrenaline. I got to say the adrenaline. That, it just, I love it. I love everything about it.
And, I could totally feel that because I know a lot of guys are on that. Would you say that this, you mentioned like adrenaline. Some people say adrenaline junkie. You know, do you find that that is something throughout all your life? Do you do other things in your life that are like that? You know, like hang gliding or bungee jumping, anything. You know, riding dirt bikes, anything like that. Is your life just kind of like that as a whole?
Man, I just I'm so busy with between school and work and training. I don't really get out to do things like that. So I can't say that I do.
But the thrill of college.
Oh yeah, the thrill of college, school work.
Yes, I'm telling you, the adrenaline of an essay just gets me ready to beat ass, but in all the wrong ways.
Yeah, in all the wrong ways. It's just,
what you going to school for? What you going for, man?
I'm going to be a middle grade math teacher.
That is fantastic. You know, I went to school to be a teacher as well.
I'm almost there, man. I graduate in December.
That's fantastic, man. Did they still do the hard placements in Georgia? Like when I went, and one of the reasons I didn't end up teaching there was at the time they were like, well, if you borrowed a bunch of money from us, you have to teach where we tell you to and what we tell you. Have you got caught up in any of that, or are you good to go?
No, I'm specifically math, the field I chose, sports for a purpose. And my school, they have worked with me tremendously. My school is in Vidalia, but I live in Effingham, and they're allowing me to do all my student teaching hours in the Effingham County District because I know this is where I want to be able to teach. So they've worked with me a lot on what I need to do to get a job and allow principals and administrators to see me around this area.
That's awesome, man. You know, I went to South Effingham Mustangs, and also went to, I forget the school with the Rebels. Their football team was the Rebels, but I went to both those schools.
Yeah, I went to South. I graduated from South.
Yeah, it's funny how much of us have. You know, Jared did, who owns Conflict, did too. So it's funny how small the world is.
Exactly.
That's awesome, man. Conflict 28, man, it's going down this Saturday. You sound ready. I almost wish we could have saved the interview for like Thursday so you could have came on all pissed off as hell. It would have been badass. You know, you've got a ton of people in your corner, a ton of people that are very excited. A lot of people that feel you're going to get the title. And then we've got a lot of people on the other side of the fence that feel, this way. But what we do know for a fact is that Robbie Colum is part of one of the most exciting time periods and moments in Southeast MMA, especially on the Emmy level, that we have possibly ever had. And so I definitely want to thank you for that and being a part of that. And I know I love seeing every time you fight. And like you said, man, you make the fans and all of us adrenaline junkies, because we got to come and see how the hell it plays out, man. So very much looking forward to this. And, you get this W and you get one of them exclusive R. Eric Ellison interviews inside that cage. And if you needed any more incentive, there it is.
That sounds like a plan to me. That sounds like a great plan to me, Eric.
That's it, man. Everybody's going to be looking forward to this. Obviously, number one contender fight for Robbie Colum, who sounds to me is going to be moving on for some Conflict gold, and then even further, man. I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day. We know this is fight week, and you got a lot going on, like you said, between school and getting ready and the gym and your dad, riding your ass and the teammates, and I know he's going to be busy making me a grilled cheese, and, it's a lot going on, so we appreciate you taking this time out, brother. Thank you.
I appreciate you inviting me on, man. Appreciate you inviting me on.
Absolutely, man. Hey, you know what, Gingers, man, we got to stick together. So when I start doing my thing, then you can make a show and have me on. We'll just keep supporting each other all the way.
That's right, a rare breed.
Rare breed. You're damn right. You fans want to come out and see the rare breeds in action, Robbie Colum and R. L. Ellison, get yourself some tickets and have your ass in Hardyville at the Music Vault May 16th, this Saturday. Go on a show for about 5 o'clock to get them good seats. Fight Club Series going down, and really the future of the sport. If you want to see it, hear what the Southeast is producing, which is some true killers, make sure you are there. Robbie, you got anything else for us, brother?
No, man. I think I said everything I need to say.
That's it. That's beautiful. I guess the rest of the talking is going to go down Saturday night with the action. I want to thank you again for coming on to episode 108. You have yourself a great day, and we'll see you at weigh-ins.
All right, man. See you Friday.
That's it, man. Everybody, Robbie Colum, make sure to check him out. You can type in R-O-B-B-I-E, that's C-O-L-L-U-M. Type it into Facebook. I know you're already there. He'll pop up. You'll see the fighter with the badass picture. You know it's him. As far as my thoughts, man, 145 is a hell of a division, man. Like he said, we've got Johnny Williams, Paul Teague, Robbie Colum. We got Malcolm Stanley, Mullins. We got so many. Jeremiah Scott. We got so many people at this weight that it's going to be an epic thing to unfold. And each one has a story, a beautiful story like the one we just heard from Robbie, and in their own lights, rights to claim towards the title. Robbie Colum has an amazing story unfolding before us in the Southeast, and it is far, far from over. So you guys make sure to be in Hardyville this Saturday for Conflict 28. For some badass action coming out of GA. And speaking of badass coming out of Georgia, we're going to end tonight with a little band out of Athens, Georgia. You might know them, REM. This is Losing My Religion.